We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1 this morning. So if you want to turn there in your scriptures. But one thing impressed upon me to say to you this morning before anything is let your hearts be broken this morning. Hear the word afresh and anew. Let the Spirit speak to you. Let your heart be broken. In Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah. And they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May the reading of the Lord's word be blessed this morning. There's a story in the Bible about Joshua. And if you remember who Joshua is, he's the commander under Moses. And when Moses offended the Lord and was told that you cannot go into the promised land, you will not take the people into the promised land, Joshua was the man who the Lord chose to take the people into the promised land. Now Joshua, I'm sure, as he was given that directive, as he was given the mantle to lead this people, probably, maybe, possibly, said, "Lord, why me? I know who these people have been. I know what they've been through. I know what they've said. I know what they've done. Why me, Lord?" One of the first things that God tells Joshua is, "I want you to go to Jericho." And what does Joshua do at Jericho? He is to engage in the first battle of the Lord. He is to take his people, his commanders, his army, and march around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, he is to do what? They are to blow the horns, and they are to march around the walls of Jericho for 7 times. And then do what? Yell. Yell, 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 and the walls of Jericho would come down. If I'm Joshua, I'm going, "Why me?" And if I'm not familiar with the Lord, I'm going, "Yeah, right." But the Lord had spoken and chosen Joshua. And Joshua had been with Moses, and he had seen what the Lord had done by Moses' hand. Joshua believed. And he walked forth in belief and faith in the Lord. He heard the Spirit speak and did as the Spirit had him do. And the Israelites were blessed. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Elizabeth says to Mary, as Mary comes and visits her, Elizabeth says this, "She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled." We have this story before us of belief and faith. Of belief and faith that God spoke. And that what God spoke will come to pass. But do I believe it? We have Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are both godly people. And it says, we're keepers of God's commandments. They were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But Zechariah and Elizabeth were what? They were, Scripture says, stricken in age. How would you like to be referred to as stricken in age? That means you're old. And some of the commentators say that vernacular indicates that they were at least 80 years old plus. How many of you are stricken in age? I'm not there yet. But the thing about Zechariah and Elizabeth is that they had no child. Can you imagine? You're 80 years old. You're living in a society where childbirth is very important and is a mark and a blessing of the Lord. And you and your spouse have not been blessed by any children. Can you imagine what the people are saying? Oh, they must have done a lot of things wrong. They must not be living right. I wonder what they did to deserve this. All the chit-chat and all the chatter. And can you imagine being Zechariah and Elizabeth and having to deal with that for 80 years? At some point, you probably have come to a point where you've gone, well, okay, the Lord's not going to bless us with children. But Zechariah is in the temple. And he's in the temple, a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a priest to go serve in the Holy of Holies, to bring the incense and put it on the fire before God. And maybe he's in there and he's going, Lord, I want a child. And maybe it was at that point that the angel appears. Bang! If you're Zechariah, how are you reacting? Fear. Trembling. Did I do something wrong in the presentation on the altar? The angel says, Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. He wants to give you a son, and you're going to have a son. Elizabeth is going to conceive. Wow. Am I hearing right? Because remember, all leading up to this, God has been silent for 400 years. Key point. He's been silent for 400 years. No one has heard him speaking. There's been no manifestations, no workings of God. Between the books of Malachi and Matthew, where we find ourselves, Matthew and Luke and John reading, there's 400 years of silence. And God shows up. Zechariah, I've heard your prayer. For 80 years, I've been listening to your prayer. Maybe not 80. 60? And I'm going to bless you. I've watched you and I've seen how you've lived, you and your wife. And you've sought after me. You've honored my commands. You've honored my commandments. You've walked steadfastly. And I know you haven't been rewarded with a child. The deepest desire of your heart. And you know what? I'm going to do so. What's Zechariah's response? He does not believe. And Zechariah said to the angel, how will I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Do we believe God's words? Do we believe when he speaks and what he says, he will carry through? Or would we rather grieve the Spirit? Was Zechariah grieving God? Was he grieving the Holy Spirit? Was he quenching the truth of God? To quench the Holy Spirit is to be prejudiced toward the way that the Spirit may manifest himself or choose to manifest himself and to not respect his presence. If God is going to answer, if the Spirit is going to speak to me, it's going to be through only one way. My preferred choice. Or the Spirit may have spoken and speaking and manifesting himself in a different way. And I won't accept that. Because of my experiences, the only way that the Spirit speaks is this way. Well, in Scripture, it says God spoke through the mouth of a donkey. Do you believe that? The Holy Spirit chose to manifest himself through the mouth of a donkey. Numbers 22, 22 through 41. Are you okay with that? Are we okay with that? He speaks to us in an audible voice. Will you listen? Would I hear him? He manifests himself through an audible voice. Will I listen? Through a vision, through a dream. Will I listen? Will I accept from God what he speaks or dismiss it as something I ate? To quench the Spirit and his fire, Paul says, don't do. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. To quench his Spirit and his fires, to refuse to respond positively to something that he may be impressing or moving you to do that may not have ever been on your radar screen. May never have been there. It's the whisper, the impression or voice that says you need to speak to so-and-so. You really should visit with so-and-so. Or you need to do this. To quench the Holy Spirit is not to be open and totally available to him and his will. It is to have limited store hours. You know what that is? It's 9 to 5. Or 9 to 3. I was so excited when Canada Trust came on the scene because it was 8 to 8. How much of the Spirit's anointing are we missing because we enforce limited store hours or conditions on our availability to him? Good thing Jesus' forgiveness was not restricted to only those persons at his crucifixion or his resurrection. To quench the Holy Spirit is also to doubt, is to be double-minded towards God, is to say he doesn't speak today. Did he really ask me to do that? When we doubt God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says we should expect nothing from him. James 1:6-8. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. What's the context? The Apostle James is telling these people to ask God for wisdom if you lack wisdom. Who is God? God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, John 1 tells us. What should we ask for? Ask for wisdom. Ask for all these things. Ask for everything in the name of the Lord. What should we expect? That God will answer. His reply will be yes, no, or wait. And when we receive the answer, we move on the answer, believing that we have received it. Now, of course, we test it with Scripture. Does it line up with His Word? We test it with those that read His Word, that listen to the Spirit, that are walking in the Spirit. And we see if it makes sense. So we listen, we check, and then we move in faith. Did Joseph quench the angel Gabriel? Yes, he doubted the angel's message. The angel was carrying the word of God, so God was speaking to him for all intensive purposes. God is speaking. Zechariah was stricken mute because he did not believe the angel Gabriel's message. For us, we can learn from this, is what will it take God to do or not to do to me in order to get my attention? In order to get me to pay attention to His will, to His voice. What will God have to do? God's prophet Elijah challenged the Israelites at Mount Carmel because they had embraced and mixed the ways of Baal, a foreign god of the Phoenicians instituted by King Ahab's wife Jezebel. They had mixed it around with God's ways, and one of the most abominable practices that they did was child sacrifice. Elijah challenges the Israelites. He says, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. And then we know what happened. Elijah picks a fight and he wins. And 400 prophets are killed that day of Baal. Are we challenged by two different opinions? One of the world, one of God. God has His promises and says, if you step out in faith, I will honor those promises. When He speaks to you and says, do this, do we do it? Or do we have a second opinion? That doesn't seem to make sense. I don't think that would be viable. What do you think's going through Zechariah's mind? Did I hear you right? We're 80 plus years old. This must be a spirit. But it's an angel of God before him. Do I hesitate between two opinions today that God speaks by His Spirit? Am I hesitating between two opinions of whether I heard Him or not? Do I doubt, but I want to believe? Does it make sense with His Word? Then follow through. But here's an exceptional circumstance. God meets us in our exceptional circumstances, I seem to read out of Scripture here. Zechariah is only able to speak when he affirms that their son is to be called John. Why is that significant? Because he believes the angel now. He believes the angel was of God and that his name, I'm going to follow through with what I'm told to do, and his name is going to be John. Even though practice would dictate that the firstborn should be named after the father or some relative. So John learns his lesson the hard way, not to disbelieve the promise and the words of God spoken and delivered through the angel. Now, guys, if you were in Zechariah's shoes, how would you have responded to the angel? How would we have responded to the angel? Let's not be too hard on Zechariah, because I'm thinking, this is impossible. How do I respond to the leading and prompting of the Spirit today? Do I listen, check, and move in faith? That's what the Spirit wants us to do. Or does God have to do things the hard way with me to get me to listen, to get me to believe Him, to do His will? We do remember that we're on this earth to do whose will? His will. And Jesus taught us that. He said, when you pray, pray this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Thy will be done, not mine. Well, we have one response of Zechariah to God. We have another response to God and the angel in Mary. Mary is visited by the same angel, Gabriel, it says, about 6 months later. And it's announced to her that she has found great favor with God and will give birth to a son whose name is to be Jesus and will be called the Son of the Most High. Just like Zechariah, she's experienced 400 years of silence. And she is a devout girl following after God. How would you react? The angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That's a good thing. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." That's a bad thing. Why is it a bad thing? By all common human standards, by our daily standards, how old is Mary? Maybe about 16, 15. And, okay, God, you're going to bless me with a son. I'm betrothed to be married. And Joseph is a good man. What's Joseph going to think? Also, by the way, God, what about the community? What about my family's name? What about my dad's name? What about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious law that I'm to be stoned? God, did you think about these things? I'd be sitting there and going, wait a second. I object. But do we read that from Mary? Mary doesn't respond that way. Right? If I was a lady in that situation, would you be troubled? You might be excited, but you're thinking about all these things. She reacts and only says one thing. How can this be? How will this be? She doesn't question the fact. She doesn't disbelieve the angel. She just asks for the details of how this is going to happen. It's not a statement of disbelief. It's a question of how. The angel, in his reaction, does not respond with rebuke to Mary, because there is no unbelief. But he responds with information to answer Mary's inquiry, unlike Zechariah. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called the Son of God." Mary's response is remarkable. How does she respond? I am available. I accept. I believe. She says, I am the Lord's slave, said Mary. May it be done to me according to your word. She believes the angel's from God. Even though she hasn't heard God for a long time, she believes. This is good news. You're going to have a child, Mary. Not just a child, but it's going to be the Son of God. And he's going to save his people. I think Mary's response is remarkable. Because she's just like you and me. She's human. She has her own desires, her own wants. She has her own heart. She was born a sinner. Mary's response is remarkable. I'm unmarried, but I'm going to be pregnant. I'm a poor and peasant, probably never going to change. I'm going to be the talk of the town in the spotlight. I'm going to bring dishonor and shame upon the family and its family name. My fiancé is going to desert me. I'm going to hurt him. And I'm just not possibly going to die a physical death, probably. But I'm going to die a social death. I'm going to go into hiding and hide the truth from everyone. Point is that God sometimes takes us into uncomfortable situations and places in our life. And he's going to ask you, or if he hasn't already asked us, to do those things that are uncomfortable, that don't make sense. If we're willing to listen to his voice and to his spirit, guaranteed that he will. Because there is so much of us filled in within us. Our pride, our ego. And God knows that, and he wants to get that out of us, because his whole goal is to what? Is to make us like him. Holy and righteous. And to do that, he usually needs to shake us up. To wake us up. If he did this with Mary, who is a woman that was after, we don't read that it was after, she was after God's heart, but she was following his commandments. We have Zechariah and Elizabeth that were staunch and following God's commandments, and they were righteous. If God will put those kind of people into difficult circumstances, what will he do with us? And it's to do what? To bring him glory. Transformation of a person's heart. And the thing that set Mary's response apart from Zechariah's response was what? A response of faith. A response of faith. Where is God leading you? Where is his spirit speaking to you about? What is he speaking to you about? What is he revealing to you? The fact is this, that we all signed up for a destination unknown when we answered the call to follow him. Just like Abraham heard the voice of God, and God said, go to this land that I'm going to show you and follow me. And he did so. Just like the disciples, when Jesus came upon them, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And when we accepted and believed upon Jesus' grace, we said, I will follow you. Will I follow where he leads? This is why Mary's response is remarkable. She says, I am your servant. I will follow. She knows the circumstance. She knows the situation. But she has faith that God will show up. The Holy Spirit, above all things this Christmas, wants you to hear him. He wants us to believe in him, to believe that he speaks to us, that he wants to visit us in a fresh way. He desires that we would expect him and know him. Like the prophet Jeremiah says to the Israelites who found themselves in personal exile because they forsook the ways of God, he said this, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. Some of us are in a wilderness, apart from God." And he says, "When I come and visit you, and I aim to fulfill my promise with you, and bring you back to my place," he goes, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." A hope. He gave us a hope in Jesus Christ. When I give you a future and a hope that we have, he says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." Is that true for you today? "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you," declares the Lord. Does he have all my heart? He says, "I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you," declares the Lord, "and I will bring you back to the place from which I've sent you into exile." Has the Lord put us in exile somewhere? Have we put ourselves in exile somewhere? The Lord is calling you back. Back to him. It begins in the heart. For 400 years, God had been silent. No one had heard his voice, seen his workings, experienced his manifestations. But two groups of individuals, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, they lived with the expectation that God could show up at any time. They sought the Lord with all their hearts, seeking him, and they found him. Is that us today? What will I do when I hear the Spirit's voice this Christmas? What will I do? Will I grieve the Spirit by passing it by? Or will I accept what the Spirit has to say to me this Christmas? Let's pray. Father God, that we would be like Mary, like Elizabeth, like Zechariah, like Joseph. That you would find us in expectation of waiting for you, of waiting to hear your voice. You're speaking to us now. You've spoken to us from the very beginning. Will I hear your voice? That we would be wholly available, like Mary was, to your will, to your ways, to your work. Lord Jesus, I pray that that would be the case. Holy Spirit, come. Speak, rest upon us. Shake us, awake us. That we would be blessed by you. In your name we pray.